By now you've heard me tell you a few stories, probably, about ships that have come to grief on the Columbia River Bar. Most of the time the stories really play out pretty similarly. The wind comes out of the southwest, blows them mostly onto Peacock Spit or onto the Middle Sands or something like that. The surf pounds them to pieces, little flinders come up, bodies float up on shore. It's a popular tune. But you know, one ship, it was a complete fluke of wind and weather and tide and timing. But this thing came through the spit and relaunched itself on the other side, none the worse for wear. So I'll tell you all about it in just a minute. But first of all, I want to introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column, runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now, called Offbeat Oregon History. Been doing it since 2008. Right now there's about 175 episodes in the kitty, and every day in the morning, I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the RSS feed, which is what you're listening to right now. This column tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. So today's episode ran in the newspapers on August 28th, 2011, and I'm going to read it to you now. The last tall ship ever built in Oregon was also the most famous. It was even featured in Robert Ripley's nationally popular Ripley's Believe It or Not comic strip. What it did, almost everyone agrees, was utterly unprecedented. So what did this wonder schooner do? Well, it walked across Peacock Spit at the mouth of the Columbia River and relaunched itself on the other side, with absolutely no help from human hands. Or at least, no effective help from human hands. So here's the long story, the full story. The North Bend II was the last of a dying breed. It was a four-masted schooner, 204 feet long overall. That was not particularly unusual in length for a four-masted schooner. What was unusual is the date it was built, 1921, at the Cruz and Banks Shipyard in North Bend. This would be the last sail-powered freighter ever built at Cruz and Banks, or anywhere else in the state of Oregon either, for that matter. One source says it was the second to last, but gives no further details, and frankly, I don't believe it. I think this was the last one. By the 1920s, steamers were just far more cost-effective than wind jammers as freight ships. They were faster, they were more predictable, they were less labor-intensive to operate, and especially on a lee shore, where the wind blows toward the coastline rather than away from it or alongside it, such as the Oregon coast, they were definitely safer. So although the odds were stacked against it, the North Bend did have a successful career. It became a sort of bookend for the tall ship era, marking the end of the age of sail. In 1926, it became the last wind-powered tall ship to sail over the Columbia River Bar and upriver to Astoria. And it was in the process of trying to repeat this historical event that the ship came to grief on February 5th, 1928. And on that day, the North Bend achieved a third last-ever event. It became the last windjammer ever to slip into a wind pocket on the bar, become becalmed, and drift onto Peacock Spit. Well, of course, every other time this had happened, the vessel involved became a total loss. Ships are built tough, but nothing can withstand the pressure and persistence of the kind of breakers found off the Oregon coast. Ships in the water are fine. They move with the waves. But once the sea has something pinned to the land, it can take a surprisingly small number of hours for it to be reduced to a collection of floating planks. But that's not what happened to the North Bend. Instead, a stunningly lucky combination of tide and weather timing left the ship high on the sand, out of reach of the full fury of the sea. Well, at first the ship's owners, a consortium of Coos Bay area businessmen, considered this a bad thing rather than a good one. Their attempt at salvaging the ship hadn't worked out very well, and now with the ship so high on the sand, there was just no way it could be dragged off the beach, especially into the teeth of the surf and the southwest wind. The crew had already been safely evacuated. Now the owners admitted defeat. They stripped the ship of everything of value that they could remove and left it there while they pondered what to do next. So the North Bend sat on the beach for a while. Winter mellowed into early spring. Then reports started to come in that the ship was on the move, sort of, walking across the spit and, I might add, doing it with astonishing speed. Here's what was happening. The action of the waves swirling around the hull was actually causing the receding seawater to pull sand out from around the ship. It was actually carving a channel into Peacock Spit. and propelled by the constant southwest wind, the ship was making surprisingly good progress, especially during the heavy weather months when the big seas and high winds lashed the coast. Finally, in February of 1929, a year and a month after the ship went aground, the hull reached the fresh and calm waters of Baker Bay. It had traveled through 12,000 feet of dry sand, well, damp sand. But that's an average speed of just over 30 feet per day. You can break that down into miles per hour and come up with a figure that actually it wouldn't register on a speedometer, but it is pretty surprising speed. By the way, a mile is 5,280 feet. With almost no human intervention, the ship slipped out through the end of the odd little sandy canal it had carved and relaunched itself on the other side. Not much the worse for wear. Alas, the fairy tale ending didn't happen. See, the North Bend's rigging and equipment had been stripped off, and to put the ship back into service, it would have to be replaced. When everything was tallied up, the tab was just too high for the owners to justify returning it to the seas. Put simply, the era of sail was just over. It had been over before the North Bend had ever even been built, and not even the stubbornest old salt could deny its overness now. So the owners had the ship dragged to Young's Bay near Astoria and tied up to a pier for several years while they figured out what to do with it. Eventually, they cut the hull down and converted it to a seagoing lumber barge. In this new and far less glamorous role, the ship was far less successful than it had been as a schooner. It made, or depending on how you look at it, didn't make, just one voyage. Towed to Gardiner on the Columbia River, it was loaded with lumber and pulled out of port for its maiden, sort of, voyage. On this trip, it didn't even make it to Coos Bay before it had sprung a leak. A big leak. The tugboat captain tried to make an emergency stop at Coos Bay, but the waterlogged North Bend sloshed into North Spit, and this time the damage was severe. Luckily, lumber floats, so the ship wouldn't sink. So it was wrangled into port and unloaded. Then the North Bend was towed back out to sea and set adrift at the mercy of the southwest wind. She washed ashore south of the bay near the Cape Arago Lighthouse, where she was burned on the beach so that the remaining metal could be salvaged from the ashes. For the ship that carried the last dying torch for the age of sail on the west coast, it was a sad and symbolic end. That's it for today. You can check out all the columns and subscribe to either RSS feed by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both of the Offbeat Oregon du jour feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a tablet, netbook, or even an old-fashioned computer. Everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening. Drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee. I'll be back tomorrow around 6 a.m. with the next episode, and until then, happy trails!